morning. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen. Well, I want to wish you a hearty welcome to all of you that have come this morning, that could come, or that are in the cars, or that are listening online. We are glad that you have come to join us. Christmas is still Christmas, regardless of how we gather, right? It doesn't change Christmas. It doesn't change the birth of Christ, and that is the good thing. Ken kind of alluded where I'm going to go for a short opening this morning, which is very good. Thank you, Ken. Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, verses 25 to 32. Luke chapter 2, 25 to 32, from our opening scripture. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, and we just want to thank you, Lord, for this day. We want to thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, and whose birthday that we still celebrate today. Oh, Father, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you for your love toward us. And Father, we pray for each one this morning. Father, I pray for each one that is here, for each one that is listening, wherever they are this morning. Oh, Father, we pray that you would touch down upon all of us this morning. We ask for your blessing, Lord. Lord, we pray for the elderly. We pray for the middle-aged, the younger, the young ones. Oh, Father, we pray that you would just touch us this morning through your word, that you would encourage us through your word, and, Father, that we would draw closer to thee. We know, Heavenly Father, that you are everything to us. And so this morning, Father, we pray that we could just blot the world out and we could just focus on you and what you have done for us. So we ask for your presence. Be here with us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, may we feel you. May we feel your presence, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple days ago, I was reading about a preacher who, he talked one Sunday morning about the fast-paced living of his day. Now remember, this is 100 years ago. He talked about the bicycle. He said the bicycle just drives so fast. This is not good for us, he said. We are moving much too fast. He said it would give people that are nervous and high-strung. Well, we know a few years after that, the automobile came, right? Well, the first cars, they only ran about 15 miles an hour. Many people then said, we are moving much too fast. This is dangerous for us. Well, today, what do? We drive in cars that go 100. We go in airplanes that go 500-600 miles an hour. Do we think anything of it? But you know, the preacher of 100 years ago was right. He was writing it right in one way. We are living in a very, very rapid pace. Life is a question of doing something fast, doing something in a hurry. Actually, if you listen to the news, doctors say there is more mental suffering today than actually physical suffering. And when you talk to people, and you will notice yourself, it is true. When you read this portion about Simeon, we find out that he had waited really his whole life for Jesus Christ to be revealed to him. And when you look into the Bible and the other portions of Scripture, you find that all over Scripture, people had to wait. If we think of, we can think of Moses, Job, or Joseph, or David, or the Apostle Paul, we're always waiting. Simeon was no different. Simeon had to wait. He was waiting for Jesus Christ to be born. We could actually say that all of his life was probably an advent for him. Waiting, waiting. Then one day when he went to the temple, there came a young couple also into the temple. And they brought a little baby. I think after I tried to figure it out, I think he was probably about 2 months old. Jesus was probably about 2 months old when this happened. And when the aged Simeon saw the child, he just overflowed with joy. The promise that God had promised him was being fulfilled. A Savior was come, and he saw him as this little baby. One who would be a light to all the world. And I find it very interesting that really there's no introduction between the two of them. The couple comes into the temple, and somehow Simeon knew, and it must have been through the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew that Mary's baby was the promised Messiah. No introductions, just the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. Simeon knew God's word. Simeon, he was totally dependent on God's promises. Or he totally believed God's promises. But I just want to point this out to you, that Simeon had found his place in this life. Maybe early on in his life, he knew what God's plan was for him, but he had found his place. And I look at a man as Simeon, and I must say, I admire him. There are so many people that go through this life unhappy, discouraged, because they never seem to know really what they want to do or what God wants for them to do. Simeon seems to have known what his place was. And it is so important for us when we go through life that we realize that God is working in our lives. He has a plan. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for mine. This story of Simeon is just so encouraging. Simeon shows us the way. It is the way of faith. Basically, that's what it is. He could come to the end of his days, and he could say, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, verse 29, according to thy word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. I just admire that. I think a lot of people go through life and they get to the end of their lives and what do they say? Oh, I should have done it different. I should have done that different. I should have done that different. And I'm sure I would say some of those things too. But when you read about Simeon, he seems to just find total joy knowing this is what God had for him. We could say about this man's life that he was satisfied. He was satisfied with the way he had lived. Yet the single event that fulfilled his dreams was the event of God in Christ, and he recognized him in baby Jesus. Seeing and holding that little baby, the Lord's Christ, the Savior of the world, was actually the high point of his life. God's salvation had become a personal acquaintance to him. He held God's deliverer, the Prince of Peace, in his arms. This same Christ, he is also our Savior. There might be a lot of things that a person might desire in life. You might desire security, prosperity, fame, whatever. But wouldn't it be nice if we could come to the end of our days and then be able to say, when we look back over the years and say, it was good. I have no regrets. If I could live my life over again, I would do it exactly like that. We'd be able to say, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. That would be lovely. It would be encouraging. May God help us to be able to do that. For text verses, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Starting at verse 19. Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 19 to the end of the chapter. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. May God bless the reading of his word. Actually, when I was studying yesterday and today morning a little bit, I noticed in this chapter, and then there's one in the other chapter, how often an angel or the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. If you look back into Matthew chapter 21, verse 20, there we find, but while he thought on these things, this is Joseph, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. If you jump a little bit further into chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, again, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they depart into their own country another way. Verse 13, the next verse, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And then the other two were found in Matthew that I read already, Matthew 2, verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And then again in verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside in the parts of Galilee. Five times. I find that so remarkable. Joseph probably didn't know what to do. And then the Lord would appear to him in a dream, and then he could go. He must have been encouraged by that. Nowadays, our dreams, I don't know if you dream a lot or not, but very often when Tina and I wake up, we say, I hope that dream doesn't come true. You ever go that way? But these dreams to Joseph, they must have been awful, awful real, right? Like, he didn't know what to do, an angel appears to him in a dream. Five times. In a short time, we read that. I just found that so interesting, so encouraging. God doesn't leave his people. He doesn't ask Joseph and Mary to go have the Holy Messiah or the Messiah to be born with them. He helps them along the way. He doesn't just say, now do this and then leave you. Jesus or God always leads us. Today is the 27th of December, so we could probably say Christmas is more or less almost behind us again. It goes so quickly. We have sung Christmas songs. We have worshipped at Christmas. Maybe not like we usually do, but we have still gone through the steps of Christmas. I sometimes wonder, though, now that we go back, tomorrow some will go back to work and some will go Tuesday, can we go back to work the same way as we did before? Does Christmas not do something to us? You know, I wish Christmas would burn a fire into our bones. A hope, a living hope. And somehow we would know that life just wouldn't be the same again. Is there any way possible for you and me to carry Christ into life, everyday life? I actually entitled my short meditation this morning, "Don't Leave Christ in Christmas." Now, you just listen to that, you think, well, that doesn't sound maybe quite right. But just think about it. Don't leave Christ in Christmas. What I'm trying to say is, I want him to go with you wherever you go. I want you to take him with you wherever you go. Don't leave him at Christmas. Because if you think about it, Mary and Joseph had to do it. The shepherds and the wise men, they had to do it. You know, there was the angels, there was the star. All of that was just so wonderful. But there came a moment, that moment, when all of that was gone. And it only lasted a short time, it was gone. And Mary and Joseph were left all alone with their new child. Left alone with the responsibility of having to take this child and help him to become what God wanted him to be. And I believe in a certain sense, this responsibility must have really weighed upon them. But they had to take that responsibility, that what they had learned at Christmas, and they had to take that into their lives. And you know what? So do you and so do I. But how do you do that? What does it really mean to take Christmas into life? What does it really mean, don't leave Christ in Christmas? Do you know the first place that Mary and Joseph took Jesus? Very simple. They took him home. And you know what? You've got to take Jesus with you to your home. We have to take Jesus with us. You know, Mary and Joseph, they had a tremendous privilege, but it was also a huge responsibility. And I'm sure that Jesus was probably like any other baby. He was human like we are, part of it, just like we were. And I know we usually don't think of him that way, but I believe he was probably like any other boy. I'm sure there were times he got sick at night. I'm sure there were times he cried at night. Mom, Dad had to get up. Maybe they even had to stay up with him. I'm sure he wiggled and squirmed when they were in the services and the synagogue, just like children do when they come to church. I'm sure there were times in his young years when he had to be disciplined. Remember, he had that human side as well as we, but he never sinned. But he grew up as a little baby, as a little boy. Maybe there were even times when he didn't totally listen to them. But you know what? Mary and Joseph, they tried. They tried, I believe, to teach him as good as they could. They took him to the services. We know that. I'm sure they read him the scriptures. I'm sure they told him everything that they knew. But much more than that, Mary and Joseph, I believe they lived their faith in their home. If you turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Luke 2, verse 52 says like this, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." So obviously they must have been teaching him. Somewhere along the line, Christ understood what he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to do. Jesus increased in wisdom. He didn't have all the wisdom to start with. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I believe one of the first reasons was because Mary and Joseph took the meaning of Christmas and they took it with them and they lived it. We often talk about Christmas times of the past. Do you ever do that? You ever talk about Christmas when you grew up? I don't know how many of you remember when I grew up. A bowl you had to set up. And all the kids all had to put it out. And then you got your candy in there and some gifts. Some of you have done that. Quite a few of you have done that. We talk about those things, right? Those are memories for us. We talk about our families growing up, gatherings. We remember the good times when we were all together with the ones we loved and how good it felt. This Christmas is different. This Christmas we're doing things quite different than we ever have. Our get-togethers aren't the same. We like the feeling of togetherness, closeness, even in church. We miss that immensely. We pray that we will be able to do that again, feel that closeness. Because right now it feels like everything's a little far apart. At least that's the way I feel. I don't know how you feel. But I believe, as we go down in life, we won't forget this Christmas. Because we still celebrate the same Jesus. Jesus was still born. We still celebrate that, but we won't forget 2020 because we celebrated Christmas different. So in years past, we will tell people of how we celebrated, how different it was. We do that automatically. We go back in time and we think of how it was. We like the wonderful feeling of family and friends, togetherness. And how we pray that we can get back to that. How we pray that we could keep that. But you know what? It won't be easy. It just won't be easy. Because I think we realize today that Satan is trying very, very hard to take that away from us. In order for us to keep the spirit of love and joy and peace and hope that we feel at Christmas, it is going to be all our responsibilities to make sure that we take Christ home with us. It is going to be all of our responsibility as parents or grandparents to teach it and keep teaching it to our children, to teach it to one another. You've got to live it in the home if you want your children to follow it. That's no secret. If our children are supposed to grow up and realize or understand all that Christmas means, they're going to have to learn it, first of all, at home. They're going to have to learn it, first of all, from parents and grandparents. The church can help you along in that, But the first responsibility is the home. It is our job. The world's greatest school is still the home. More is learned about God in the home, I believe, than anywhere else. By what we teach, by our attitudes, and the way we live at home. How important is Jesus in your home? Mary and Joseph took Jesus home. Brothers and sisters, we have to take Jesus with us. We have to live it at home. The only way to carry Christ into Christmas is to take him home with you. What do we treasure most about your home? About our homes? We talk about the love of Christmas, but is that love evident everywhere in your home? Do we treat each other with that kind of love that we're supposed to? And I don't mean just at Christmas, but I mean as you take Christ into your home the rest of the year, all the year through. We talk about how important God is, but really, how important is he? Is he important enough to live with us? You know, is worship something we do when we have nothing else to do? Or is worship something that we take time to do? I guess maybe one of the things that concerns me a lot as a pastor is that many, many children are still growing up, and young people are growing up, who have parents that don't take Jesus into their home. There are far too many parents today that are trying to teach their children something that they aren't doing. And I believe the sin of that will come home to us someday. You cannot teach your child something you aren't doing because they watch you way more than you realize. And you know, very often I think children actually in our world today, and I hope that's not in the church, but a lot of children grow up with a mixed up kind of faith. They're mixed up about it. Or a mixed up idea of faith. They're not interested because mom and dad don't live it, so how can they be interested in it? I want to encourage you today, everything that we feel at Christmas, I want to encourage us to take that home with us. That love, that Christ has to come home with us. You know what the greatest hope that we have for children is not that they are supposed to be successful in the eyes of the world. I don't think our greatest thing for our children, our desire for our children, is that they become popular. Or that they become rich. I don't think that's our greatest desire. At least it shouldn't be. It should be that they could serve, know, love Jesus Christ. That should be our biggest concern for our children. If Christmas means anything to us, our greatest desire should be that those we love would get to know Jesus Christ. That has to be our biggest desire. It has to be. That your children and my children and our grandchildren would love Christ. That they would get a desire in their heart to serve him. Christmas will never live in the world until Christ first of all lives in our homes. He has to come home with us. Another place we need to take Christmas, you know where it is? Into your workaday world. Mary and Joseph, they had to survive And I'm sure it wasn't easy for them. Joseph was a carpenter. Hard work, poor pay, at least in those days. The parents of Christ were not rich people. But somehow they survived through their hard work. Somehow through their hard work, they were able to make it. And somehow I feel that after Christmas, the work they did, don't you think it had a different significance on them? Don't you think it was important in a different kind of way once they had this baby Jesus in their arms? Now they knew that they were servants of God. They knew that the baby needed them. They were important to him. They would provide Jesus an atmosphere in which he could grow up with a sense of security and love. And I sometimes think, you know what, I think Joseph's hammer maybe wasn't quite as heavy when he went back to work after Christ was born. Somehow I just have that in my mind. Maybe his saw just saw it a little bit easier. Maybe the clothes to wash and the meals that Mary cooked maybe weren't quite as hard to do. They both understood that their offering, we could say, their offering or their service to God, through their work, was just a little bit different. What they did was being used by God. Every nail that he hammered, every pot that she cleaned, Jesus learned to be a carpenter, probably got blisters on his hands, but he brought honor and glory to human work, knowing that it could be used not only to serve others, but also to serve God. You know, most people look forward to going back to work after Christmas, but most people don't look forward to it with a sense of excitement or joy. It is routine. It is monotonous. But back to work we must go. Back to the typewriters, back to the computers, back to the classrooms, back to the backbreaking, back to the hammers, to the saws. Soon the Christmas music and the hope of Christmas gets lost as we struggle and sweat to survive. But I sometimes ask myself, does it have to be that way? After we've listened to the fact that God has come to dwell in the midst of this world. When we remember that this is his world, and it is sacred. Maybe, just maybe, we can begin to understand that what we do every day is important to God. Because, you know, I think everything that we do can be offered up as an offering to God. Maybe what we will do, he will take it. Maybe he will take it to help somebody else. Maybe you're working in a place today that isn't very pleasant. But maybe he is using you there to bring somebody to him, that you can help somebody. Help others and make the world a better place in which to live. Maybe work doesn't have to be so boring if we let God use it and see what he will do with it. I don't know what he'll do with it, but would it make a difference in your life and work? If the computer that you sit on and type, or the truth you taught, or the goods that you sell, or the hammers, the saws, if you used them and always offered them to God, you know, it's unfortunate. We work to make a living. But you know what? That's not the primary purpose of work. Work ought to be something that we do for God. an offering that will make the world a better place to help others. I often go, not as much lately because of COVID, but the care home that we have here. And every time I leave there, I always say, these workers, they must can't do it for the money. They must do it because they love the Lord. And that's no different than the church. The work that you do in the church today, don't do it just for other people. That's part of the reason. But do it because you love the Lord. Because if you're not going to do it because you love the Lord, you know what? You're not going to do it very long. Because we let each other down. Work that we do for the Lord should be an offering. An offering to Him. To help others. To maybe get them to see the real meaning of Christmas. God will be there to help you. God will be there to help you do that. He will use that. And you know what He can even do? He can use our disappointments. Now, I don't know about you, but you probably have some disappointments in life. And you know what? He can even use them. But I ask you this morning, does it make, or would it make any difference in our lives if we can imagine God being with us through Jesus Christ wherever we work? Next to you as you swing the hammer, next to you when you're in front of your computer, you imagine God taking what you're offering and using it. You see, brothers and sisters, Christmas is for all of life. You can't leave Christ in Christmas. You've got to take Him into all of your life. It's not just for one time of the year. It's where you work. It's where you play. It's everywhere. Another place I'd like to encourage us to take Christmas is into the area of our faith. Mary and Joseph, they would, I believe, often remember Bethlehem. You know why? Because there would be those moments in their lives when their faith in God would really get tested. When their faith in God would really get tried. They had to run for their lives to the strange land of Egypt. There were many hard and difficult times in their lives when I'm sure they wondered, God, where are you? Where are you? Now, we don't know what happened to Joseph. Very little is written about him. Most commentaries believe that Joseph died when the children were still quite young. And I'm sure that Mary often thought that, God, you deserted me. But one of the verses that really encouraged me or encouraged me about Mary is Luke 2, verse 19. It's just a simple verse, and it says this, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word pondered means to think deeply or thought deeply. All these things that had happened at Christmas, Mary pondered them in her heart. What she said here was actually before Christ was born. It was after Christ was born. But Mary, then already, she was pondering those things in her heart. And I believe Mary did that as life went on. Mary remembered the Christmas event. And I know that God made mothers that way, God made women that way, females that way, that they can remember way more than we men can. If you men haven't found that out yet, just ask your wife. There are things that my wife can remember that I have totally forgot. And Mary was that way too. Mary could remember. It says she pondered these things. She remembered these things. You ever had something very important happen in your life? Women remember them way more than men do. Mary remembered. She pondered these. And I'm sure Mary often remembered when her baby Jesus was born. I believe she remembered the Christmas events. She needed to. You know why? Because when everything seemed to point to the fact that God had forgotten her, she would really know that he hadn't. She could remember there at Bethlehem, God had not forgotten anyone. That God was still at work in the world in ways that no one else could really see. She didn't know how, but I believe she lived by the faith and trusted that God was there. There is no doubt that many of us will go away from this Christmas season, and you're going to land in some Egypt. We are going to land in some area where our faith is going to be tested. It might be a sickness that doesn't go away. It might be a frustration. It might be a disappointment. Maybe a job we didn't get. Maybe a love that's rejected. I don't know what it will be. Maybe we'll just find ourselves bored with the way life is. But life, I will have to tell you today, is going to come down hard on us somewhere, probably the next year. Summer or the next year, you're going to feel that way. And in the middle of it all, you might just start to wonder, God, where are you? All of the songs that we sing at Christmas about God being in the midst of this world, sometimes we ask, where is he? And that's when we will have to remember Christmas. We will need to remember that Christmas tells us that where he is where we are. We are not forgotten. I want to say to you this morning, you're not forgotten. Not a one of you. We're not alone. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're not alone. In the times of our difficult, trying moments, we need to remember Bethlehem. God has come into this world in human flesh. We must never give up on that. We must never, ever lose hold of that. We must hold on to it with every sense, every ounce of faith that we have. Because that is what keeps us going on and on. Christmas tells us that we can go on and on in the face of all our difficulties because Jesus Christ was born. As long as we keep our eyes on him, all the difficulties of life are small. As long as we remember that he dwells in our midst, nothing can really harm us. As long as we remember he knows the way, he is the way. Keep your eyes on him. Don't lose heart. You know the great joy of which the angels, they spoke? It's not found in all the superficial fun, or we could say, that is there around a Christmas. It is only found in the deep meaning of the season. When Jesus was born, God became a man so he could save us from our sins and give us that joyful prospect of being together with him. And if nothing else keeps you going in this world, I encourage you, remember that. We as Christians, we have the best future ahead of us. Regardless of what happens in this world, our future is secure in him. That's the true reason for joy. He came to bring joy to all people. The shepherds, remember, they went back to the cold nights, to the loneliness of their work. But they went back different, glorifying and praising God. May we do that as well. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, this morning we want to thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus. Oh, Father, may we take Jesus with us. Help us to take Christ into the world for the rest of the year, not to leave him just, or not to just to do it at Christmas. We need him wherever we go, each step of the way. And Father, I pray for each one today that is here, that is listening. Oh, Father, we pray that it would encourage us, knowing that you lead us. You will guide us. You have not forgotten about us. Each one of us, you lead us maybe a little differently in this world, but Father, you are the Savior to us all. And so, Father, this morning we pray that this Christmas, even though we can't gather like we usually do, oh, Father, we still pray that this Christmas we would never forget that Jesus Christ was born to save us. And it doesn't matter what happens in this world, that cannot be taken away from us. May that encourage us, Lord. May that give us strength, a living hope that you have not forgotten about us. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you how Mary and Joseph show us the way through Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for leading us in those songs. Very fitting. Send the light. You are a light regardless. You want to be or not. What kind of light are we? Take Christ with you and you will shine. Thank you for coming this morning. It is our prayer that as we head into the new year, that you would have a blessed one from our family to yours. We thank you for all the prayers. We will pray for you. And together, may we be encouraged. Jesus Christ is born. He walks with us, and he will go with us into this year, new year. Shall we bow for the benediction? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. That peace go with you. God bless you.